Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Factor with Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
It's almost midnight on May 1st when a Las Vegas Metro police officer's body cam catches this. Something flashing low in the sky.
911 emergency.
Minutes later.
There's an 8-foot person beside it and another one's inside and it has big eyes and looking at us and it's still there.
Someone calls 911 reporting two large figures in their backyard.
No, I'm so nervous right now.
The 8 News Now investigators obtaining another officer's video as he's sent to the Northwest Valley home.
I have butterflies, bro. Everyone saw a shooting star. Then these people say there's aliens in their backyard.
Officers meeting up with the caller and his family.
What'd you see?
It was like a big creature.
A big creature?
Yeah, like a long 10 feet tall.
I'm not going to BS you guys. One of my partners said they saw something fall out of the sky, too, so that's why I'm kind of curious. Did you see anything land in your backyard? Or?
They see like a big, that's what they say. They see like a big something with light.
What I saw right now, I do believe in it.
What's clear? They're taking this call seriously.
Hey, this might sound like a really dumb question, but did you guys see anything fall out of the sky?
Asking others what they saw.
I would normally discount it as nothing. However, seeing as one of my partners said they saw it too, only reason I'm actually investigating it further.
That investigation turning up no concrete answers as of Wednesday. Whatever or whoever fell into that yard, long gone within minutes.
Oh, hey. If those 9-foot beings come back, don't call us, all right? Deal with it yourself. That, I ain't dealing with that.
Wow.
And we're back!
You might want to use one of your edits on this one to cut that back down. But we're back.
G'day, mate.
G'day.
And not only are we back, we're in the same goddamn room.
Yeah, this is one of the great cryptid rarities of all time,
it's
isn't
actually
it? The
quite
three
odd.
Of us. Yeah.
It's weird looking at you guys, like seeing you, your physical form.
Because we all have that beauty filter on Zoom, and now you're just getting actual head.
Yeah, you've aged.
Yeah. I thank you. It's been a long time.
I knew you were coming, so I grew a grey beard to sort of like be the similar age to you guys.
This is like old.
I'm revealing myself for the first time. You know, I feel like... Ah, fuck it, we're in Hollywood and we're getting on a bit. But hey, we're still rocking.
We are. We're rocking and we tried to all get to an alien conference together.
Yeah.
Failed at that because of timings and stuff. I got stuck in New Zealand.
Well,
but
yeah,
well we
us,
weren't invited.
Oh, we weren't invited.
No, it was aliens. It was aliens only. We were the three humans that
well,
turned
those
up.
Guys, those guys
any chance of having a look? Getting to learn what you guys are up to? No, aliens only.
Well, those guys were clearly late as well. The ones from the news report. The 9-foot ones. They turned up late as well.
But the most exciting part about this episode is we have a guest.
Hey! Yes! Awkwardly sitting in the corner of the room.
Waiting patiently.
Whilst we've all been looking at our old faces.
Yeah. No, it's Michael Giacchino. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me. Happy to be here. If there's any difference in our audio quality of our voices, it's because they have much better microphones.
Well, yeah. Didn't you get the notice of bring your own microphone podcast?
I didn't see it. I should look at the text.
You've got a lovely little microphone that would just sellotape to your chest.
This would make Radio Shack proud. This is great.
Well, they are actually the sponsor of this episode. Radio Shack, thank you so much for the tiny little microphone.
And we're so sorry you shut down.
But, I mean, we are so excited to have you here. This is for the listener at home. We're sitting next to an Oscar winner. Wow. Three times Grammy winner.
Wow. Yeah.
And literally soundtracking our lives at the moment with all the top movies. I mean, everything from Rogue One, incredible soundtrack. Wow. That's Michael. Thor, Love and Thunder.
Oh, my God.
The Batman, the latest one, the Robert Pattinson one, not the Flash movie. The Spider-Man movies, the latest Tom Holland ones. We've got Lost, Jojo Rabbit, the Star Trek movies. You've done a bunch of those. Yep. Ratatouille.
Wow.
Up. Yeah. I mean, up.
You've achieved some stuff in your life. I mean, good on you, Michael. I mean, we've all done stuff, haven't we?
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay,
the list goes on.
It's just making me feel more and more worthless.
This is incredible.
What has my life been worth? I haven't done... Even one movie I haven't scored.
I'll give you the next Planet of the Apes one. You can do that. All right.
I love most about you, I have to say, Michael, is the fact that you are willing to jeopardize every single job that you have by insisting, no matter how serious a musical piece is, to make sure the title of the piece is a pun.
Yes.
Really? I've just been going through your Spotify list. Okay. I mean, I can't believe it. Let's see. We've got the Spider-Man movie here. We've got On a Ned to Know Basis. We've got the Magical Mysterio tour for that same movie. Star Trek Beyond. We've got Star Trek Beyond. You were just chucking in Back to the Future references the whole time. We've got, where is it? Hack to the Future is one of them.
Yes, I remember there's another one. Will It Still McFly?
Yeah, Will It Still McFly?
Do you know, actually, can I just quickly ask, because we went out on a boat trip yesterday and almost every boat has a pun for a name. Do you get your inspiration by going?
I hang out at the harbor quite often, actually. I go down there. Usually it's the first thing I do. It's where I jog. I go check out the boats. Any new boats come in, I make notes of the puns.
The names, the puns. I thought of that. And the other place do you get puns? Do you go to hair salons and barbershops, you know, a cut above?
Oh, yeah, constantly. And
like, you know, they're amazing.
Like, or the nail salon that says nailed it. Right?
Yes!
Like, yeah, exactly. Yes! Or you know, yes, exactly.
I knew it.
Yes.
I
just wander around looking for that stuff.
It's incredible.
Actually, there are people that are very upset that I do that.
Right.
Very upset. Really? Like, you go on message boards, they're like, does he not take this seriously? What is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
This is Star Trek. This is not like, you know, they treat it like, you know, the Bible. Like, I'm going in and renaming and redoing that.
By the way,
not a bad idea either.
It's a punditry there. Yeah, exactly.
This is the fanatics. They really, and you know, you get that with those big franchises as well. And as soon as you put a little bit of comedy in there, they get upset. Tyker's had that a lot.
Yes.
And even I felt it when I did X-Files. And I was really proud of the work. It was a really funny episode. It was one of the best of the new ones. It was a Monster of the Week episode, and I was the monster.
Amazing.
And someone came up to me in New Zealand in a bar and said, hey, man, just on X-Files. Oh, hey, yeah, what? Sorry, yep. Why, man? Why'd you do it?
What?
Why would you do that, dude?
Why are you ruining my life?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, I was so taken aback. It's like, it's funny when you realize that not everyone has your sense of humor.
No. Nope.
Not everyone, you know, and the pressure of seriousness and dramatic intensity that they want, some people, from things like Star Wars, which is clearly just a hilarious like fantasy thing in space with shiny helmets and lightsabers, to then the Marvel stuff, which is comic books.
Yeah.
It's kids comic books, you know. It's got it, and they have such humor in them, the original books and stuff. And then they look at you know, some like Thor or something and say, oh, it's just not taking it seriously.
Yeah. But even X-Files,
not taking it seriously.
The original X-Files,
there was a lot of humor in that between
Yeah, of course.
And do you know why? Because there's humor in life.
Yeah.
And I can't stand watching a drama that doesn't have any humor in it, because even in a dire situation, we find a joke.
Which
alleviates some of the pain and what have you. So
Well, and the great thing about being here in LA, and one of the reasons why Michael is here, is because in LA there's just super famous, accomplished people. Michael was literally just walking past the house.
I was looking for puns outside in the bushes. I thought I was going through the trash, seeing if there's anything. I didn't even know you guys were in here. So.
We saw Michael walking past, and around his neck, he's wearing a day pass to the International UFO Congress. And it just so happens that this episode, because of the news report that Reese played earlier, is a UFO special.
Yeah.
And by the grace of the Matrix and lazy code.
Here I am, sitting on this sofa.
Michael. But I am, apparently, I don't know if it's another pun, I see your name rather than Michael Giacchino.
I didn't put Michael Giacchino, I put Michael George. That's my middle name because, you know, I'm wandering around this thing.
It kind of looks, though, like you're trying to go to an international UFO conference as George Michael.
George Michael, yeah. Yeah.
Just missing the comma.
He never really left us.
No, there he is. It's fantastic to have you here with us.
It's 2016 that you're wearing it for, the year 2016.
Wait, what year is this?
I know. I was just saying.
Is this not 2016? Did this happen again to me?
Wait. Wow, something's happened. There's been a slip. There's been a time slip again.
Lazy code.
Oh, God. Lazy code. Terrible code. That's not lazy code. Yeah,
that's broken code.
That was the last time the world was great. It was before a lot of shit went down. I don't want to be quoted on that because I'm sure there was some bad stuff then as well.
No, nothing.
But hey, you know, at least there was no pandemic, and that really altered the world.
It did.
Threw us into a real odd flux.
Yeah.
We're pulling our way out of it now. I should also mention that Michael and I, our sons are friends at school. So that was the other connection.
And this is essentially our play date.
This is our play date. Our sons have put us
that
on.
The boys have
you guys
set up.
Are going to hang out.
Yes.
We've finally done it.
Yeah.
And it's an absolute honor and pleasure to have you here, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Same. Yeah. Thank you for having me. This is like what I would be doing anyway. So this is perfect.
2016, by the way, one bit of sad news from 2016.
Yeah.
You know who died in 2016?
Is this just fresh out? Fresh news out from 2016?
Everyone who died in 2016?
Yes, I know.
That's how we start each episode. I pick a year.
In memoriam.
The in memorium.
Okay.
We brought you in to do the music for
it. Yes. That's very sad.
George Michael.
No.
What?
Lazy code.
What?
Yeah. Lazy Matrix code. George Michael.
Did you know that, or did you?
I remembered it and I quickly Googled it.
He's good.
I thought that's when we lost him. Yeah.
Just quickly, being a UFO special, Michael, what's your opinion on UFOs and what got you into it? And give us a quick little rundown of your weirdness. And just before you do, I thought when Dan was saying that you're willing to risk your career by puns, I thought he was going to say by coming on this podcast and talking about aliens and weird stuff. It's kind of a bigger risk than puns.
Anyway, I can risk my whole career. I will try it. It's fine. Yeah. So I'm going to see which one works. You know, maybe this will be the one. This will do it.
I think it might be.
It's a very high chance.
We finally got him.
Very high chance.
I have loved this since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in New Jersey, okay?
Wow.
And the thing that I was most terrified of growing up in New Jersey was Bigfoot. I had no reason to be afraid of Bigfoot. I lived in a Levittown style neighborhood that was like a post-war type thing. And, you know, there's no Bigfoot was out, but I would watch In Search of things, shows like that, which I was obsessed with.
Yeah.
Things like that or Boggy Creek or those kinds of films that were just like terrifying, but I loved it.
Yeah.
And every night when I went to bed, I had a ritual. Because I was so terrified of Bigfoot, every night I'd go to bed, I'd be like, pull my covers up, I'd look at the windows, I had two windows, and I would imagine in my head, like a blast shield coming down over the windows, like so that it could be sealed for the night. And I'd have to go through this little ritual as a kid every night so I could be protected so that Bigfoot could not, because where my room was, there was a roof outside and you could just hang out on that roof if you wanted. And I always thought, oh my God, what if Bigfoot like climbs up on the roof? And then it's just like tapping right on there. The window right there. Wow. So I had to imagine in order for that. And I always had these weird things like I would look, I had well, not a digital clock. In those days, it was a digital flip, you know,
the old flip spin,
like in Lost. It was that. And
another one you scored as well, by the way. Just a subtle reference in there I saw. Nice, nice work.
Yeah, we're going to get through all of them by the end of this. It would have to be even numbers before I could close my eyes to go to bed. So it's all these like weird little things that would be like these like rituals that would keep me safe from aliens.
Funnily enough, I just did an ayahuasca ceremony and they did a very similar thing. They started a thing. They put blast shields down or at least a cone of protection.
Yeah.
And that to stop bad energies coming in. And so it is, you were actually probably doing quite a spiritual ritual.
Protective thing.
Yeah, and I couldn't go to sleep unless I did it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And do you still believe in Bigfoot now? Well, as an adult?
So years, you know, I just did the I'm going to name another one. I just, you know, did Werewolf by Night, right? So I directed that for Marvel. So that, one of the first, like there was this room in that show where it had all the heads of all these monsters that had been killed and hunted over the years. And one of the heads I made was Bigfoot.
Right.
Because I was like, I got to have that up there, right? So I had that up there. And I remember just being on set looking at that thing. So I can't believe all these years, like I can't finally... I have Bigfoot's head on the wall.
Yeah.
I've taken care of it. He's not that I would want to kill Bigfoot. I don't know why, but that was, so now it's in my studio at home. So the guy, everyone at Marvel sent me this massive box at Christmas and they said, we figured your head was getting big enough. We're going to send you another, something that's even bigger than your head, which was like this huge. So now that thing is sitting there. I have to figure out how to mount it. But when I look at it, I instantly just think of my childhood and the things that I loved. And it was more of an amazement of what else is in the world that we don't know about.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think I loved the most about it.
And that's what we've always loved, is that we haven't solved everything.
Yes.
And and I think if you get to a point where humanity has solved everything, then what are we here for?
Yeah.
If we stop searching,
yeah,
going back to in search of,
yep,
yeah,
then where's the joy? Because we know everything. And even if you go even further back to the philosopher kings, you know, back to ancient Greece, the heroes would be the ones that are talking about stuff we don't know about.
Yes.
So it's sort of like in search of wisdom, the wisdom back in those days. And I'm spiraling into a hole I'm not going to get out of. And I'm going to get foot from the bottom. And I can see you guys already putting ropes down. I'm seeing your ropes and I'm going, no, I'm still fine. And I'll just actually grab onto one of them. I'll grab onto yours, Dan.
Thank you.
You guys could pull your other ones up. I'm still going to say a couple of things.
Don't grab his.
Oh, yeah. It's actually, the thread is coming loose on that one, Dan.
Oh! Well, don't you think there has been this like this idea of the destruction of wonder, right? So with the internet and with everything, you don't have to wonder anything anymore. You can just instantly know about it.
Yeah.
But as a kid,
yeah,
it was like you would sit with your friend and you talk about, okay, let's discuss Bigfoot. Like, what's the probability of this? And you could talk, and there was nothing, well, not that you could get on the internet now and find out really what the truth is.
So we are convoluted with disinformation on the internet now. You don't know what's real and what isn't.
Yeah.
And we're also, as humans, making stuff not real. And then that's we bleed into artificial intelligence and we're making things so realistic that you think, you know, there's so many photos now, and you go, that have been created by AI, and you just can't tell.
Well,
so it's just getting murkier and murkier.
We're getting further and further away from being able to prove any truth, because right now, if I came back from the forest with video of Bigfoot that was clear and irrefutable, the very first thing is going to be, people are going to be like, that's generated by AI. You can do it so easily now. That we went our podcast started. Through the last 12 or 13 odd years, we went from if you wanted to try and fake a video of Bigfoot, it had cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and, you know, 3D rendering time, and that, which was nearly impossible, to now it being an app on your phone. You go, here's a shot of my backyard. Please put Bigfoot in it. It'd be a great app.
Yeah, actually.
Well, so we've effectively gotten further away from being able to prove.
But are we getting further away? Are we getting actually closer to the core of what is actually happening,
the answer to
which,
it all.
Which may or may not be the fact that this is a simulation. Right? Which may or maybe are, you know, which way is it really going?
Could be.
I don't know. I think we're in that real amazing point of we're on the edge. You know, we're just starting to figure it out. And that's why you're talking about there's been some slips in reality. There's been some we were talking about sloths before you turned up, and then you turn up with your sloth pants on. And it's like these little coincidences are becoming more and more crucial to kind of help us with our understanding of the universe we're living in. It's really exciting time to be alive.
It's incredible. Which incidentally is another school that Michael did, The Incredibles. I think to the point also, when you're a kid, I remember sitting around and talking about Bigfoot and not knowing where to find more information. And one thing that I really feel it helped me with, and I wonder if for you guys as well, is a storyteller was born as a child, where you're creating kind of possibilities. You're looking for alternative thought. It's, and because it's so evocative of a beautiful image, this guy hiding inside the woods, you, part of my creativity, I would say, was hugely born out of those conversations as a kid, trying to work it out for yourself, not being able to have something debunked in your face the second you say it.
We're like storytellers around a fire, right? You're like, it's like, you know, the way you would just like carry on in an oral tradition of all of those things as a kid, and ghost stories and everything, you know what I mean? All of it is just the greatest.
And because those stories require you to act the story out in a way that gives the person goosebumps in the way it gave you goosebumps when you first heard it. So that's the fire side, isn't it? That's why ghost stories are so amazing.
Well, isn't it? The thing that I really love, particularly about cryptozoology, but also aliens and the like, is that it is basically fairy tales that we get to keep believing in, or at least have the ability to still,
because they're not disproved,
fantasize about, because they're not, and as soon as they're disproved, it's one of the things that as a cryptozoologist, you're almost totally fearful of somebody proving. So when they, the Yeti, and they go, oh, I found some DNA, it's actually a bear, and you go, well, that's, if that was true, that's great, because we're proven, but it's also really sad. The creature has almost died.
Yeah, and when some of those pictures are disproven. So, like, obviously, you've got the surgeon's photo of Nessie, which was from 1930, was it? And then, and then it was disproven, like, in the 90s, I believe. And then also the famous fairies one. Remember the fairies?
Conan Doyle.
Which things like that. And they, of course, become ammo for the skeptics to go, oh, like, it's all bullshit, you know. And the one that's always on the cusp of yay or nay is, of course, the Patterson footage.
Yeah.
Gimlin Patterson Bigfoot, which, you know, every year there's a restabilization and
I even
restabilized it just to see if I, like, I brought it into After Effects and tried to see if I could do that. Just,
did you really?
I did, you know, just to see, because I wanted to see it clearer and see.
And like, and people saying, oh no, the suit's been found, and then, oh no, it hasn't, or the guy's been found.
Right.
They did a shot of the guy that walks exactly the same way and all this kind of stuff, but he's not tall enough. And then there's the arguments for it, like, why would you have a suit with breasts that's clearly a female, and so that was a, and then you could you see the muscle definition on the buttocks and everything, if you, depending on what DVD you're watching. And so that one I love, because it's just it's constantly on the sitting on the fence, and no one's, you know, people are pulling it down from both sides. But and then there's brilliant ones whereby, you know, things are discovered, like the coelacanth, cryptozoological prehistoric fish off the coast of South Africa. And I think that one, I'm not sure of the year again, because I'm terrible with dates, but that was a moment for cryptozoology where we go, see, things can be rediscovered millions of years after they're supposed to be alive.
Well, that's used as the logo, isn't it, for the Cryptozoology Museum. That's a good, like, you'd expect it to be the Bigfoot or whatever, that's to show an example of proof.
It keeps us, really hunting, keeps the imagination going. And also, you know, we're just blowing our own trumpets now, but it's a fun, it's a fun thing to do as an adult, to keep our childlike sense of wonder alive. And I think when you lose that, you know, you lose your innocence, you're bogged down in very boring political and yes. turmoil of the thought, which is kind of, it's sad. Your kids leave home, they go off, and then, you know, your partner yeah. and yourself are sort of looking at each other going, oh, what did we like about each other again?
Yeah.
And you've got to find that. And I think
Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's right. On that original search for Sasquatch.
Yes.
It was 1987. You had the crop top on. I had the geeky glasses and the bad haircut. And you said, God, we should get together. No, I didn't. Well, maybe I said that. Anyway, we had a couple of nips of whiskey and into the sack we went. Remember? That was my friend Sharon.
Shit! Very memorable.
Do you remember that great fact about Gimlin and Patterson, which is after they had the footage, they went touring around the country. So it was back in the day, and they were showing it to just various different groups that would come into halls and see it. But Patterson didn't want to do that. He didn't want to be part of it. So Gimlin just got someone in to pretend be him. Yeah. Really? So what I love is while everyone was watching the footage, amazing. Trying to work out if there was a fake Bigfoot on there, what they didn't notice was there was a fake Patterson.
That's amazing. Okay, wait, on that subject of that footage,
yeah,
we only ever see just that bit, right?
Yeah.
The thing. So, but what were they doing out there with the camera to begin with? And what was...
They were searching for a Sasquatch.
Yeah. So they were literally looking for him.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. They're on horses. They'd been, if I can, my memory, which never serves me well, you know, sort of out all day. And it was getting to the end of the day and they suddenly saw something in the distance. And I think they rode up really quickly or they got off the horse and you've got... he got the camera going, but that's what he got of it, that it was the most stable after all the running, and he just stopped and shot that moment.
Is there other footage from their day out?
I don't think so. No. I feel like they were actually filming a movie, like it was a fictional movie, yeah. And then kind of like, whoa, shit, he's actually
he was a stuntman,
or she. Patty.
We got to see that movie, the rest of that.
Exactly, yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
Gimlin was a stuntman. For used to go riding around cannons on chariot, like horse,
like classical
wagons. Yeah,
and Reese has actually met Bob Gimlin. So
yeah, I met him at a UFO conference.
Yeah.
I paid some money for that famous frame and he signed it. So I've got that as one of my prized possessions. And I think it's the one of, I think when the Bigfoot's looking back, it's that one where he turns around.
That's the best bit of that.
Yeah. And so,
hey, now the one thing I just want to point out, being from New Jersey, love New Jersey, by the way, big fan.
Thank you very much.
But you were scared of Bigfoot when you're clearly...
I had the Jersey Devil right there. The Pine Barrens.
The Jersey Devil is terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Bigfoot's kind of lovely and cute, never hurt a soul that we know of, but Jersey Devil's legend.
No, and that would eat kids and stuff like that. And it actually flew out of the mother. It was the 13th child that flew out of the mother. Yeah, exactly. No, that was actually very close to where I grew up.
So that would land on the roof next to your window.
I don't know why that didn't scare me more. It should have. If you just break it down, you're like, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the Pine Barrens, for some reason, we never wanted to go there at night. I'll tell you that much.
Really?
We would never go near the Pine Barrens at night. And even if we drove through, like coming home from the Jersey Shore, if we drove through at night, it was frightening because you're like, because it's so dark out there and your headlights only go so far and anything could jump out. It's one road through a massive, this whole entire thing of the pines, you know, the pine trees.
Yeah.
It's it. And it was terrifying. So we never wanted to be out there at night.
More specifically around UFOs and going to UFO conferences, given we're going to talk a little bit about UFOs today, what's your belief and thoughts on UFOs and aliens?
I think that it's impossible that they don't exist. For me.
Yeah.
It's impossible that something isn't out there. Now, the big question is time, right? Where in time is everything? Because the biggest, the percentages that would have to be for us to exist at the exact same time as them, it's a really, it's a tough thing, but not impossible, right? It's not zero. They may be able to go through time. I don't know.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They've been visiting this planet for, millennia.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Certainly the length of time that civilization has been around, because there's the cave paintings, the cave bits, and they've been on the early art.
Right.
They pop up all the time, little light. But mention of the Bible, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's also, even if there is life, like we've only been communicating really with the universe as such, sending out signals for the last 100 and a bit years, and maybe even not quite that. It's probably about 100 and a bit years. And that's like of a 14 billion year long universe, right? So there might be local civilizations, but they might be at amoeba stage at the moment. They haven't yet got to where we are. And then you've got the distance of space. They have to travel light years to get here. Incidentally, another movie that Michael scored, Lightyear.
ding, ding.
The amount. You have to drink every time.
Well, but also there is also the other theory that I just had just then that we don't know.
In your head.
In my head.
And now you're revealing it.
Here it comes. Here it comes, guys. Are you ready?
Is this a Buttons theory time?
That is a quick one. Just a quick little side Buttons theory time.
We got time for this tune?
No, oh my God, no, don't do it.
Okay. We'll save that for next time.
We don't know. No, is that we don't know the lifespan of an alien species, any of the alien species, maybe 1,000 years, maybe 10,000 years. Yeah. That this one life, like look at a tree, you know, may last 1,000, 2,000 years old.
It's a great signifier.
We've got it here on Earth. We've got life forms that last that long. Yeah. So why not an intelligence? Like, just because we only live 80, 100 years at the most, these aliens could be traveling for 1,000 years at light speed.
Yeah.
And they live for 2,000 years, so they get here halfway through their life.
A juvenile for the first 200 years.
Yes.
And these are Earth years, by the way.
Exactly.
They have their own years.
Yeah, we don't even know. I think we've solved it here. I think.
Done, guys. Thank you so much. It's been a great episode.
We're partially solved already.
Have you ever possibly seen a UFO, Michael? You have.
Yeah. And it was.
You hit it here first.
The Pine Barrens.
Hang on. Have you told anybody this?
Yeah, well, and it's funny.
On a podcast or anything?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. This is an exclusive, guys. We need a new sting. We need an exclusive breaking. Right. Oh,
you know who should come up with that.
I'll do it for you. Yes, I'll do it.
I'll
send you a sting. Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
It was in high school. We were on like a senior retreat type of thing out in the Pine Barrens with everyone. I was with my friend Tom White, who I just saw back in New Jersey a couple weeks ago. And we were just talking about this incident. I was like, remember we saw that cylinder? And it was a cylinder, like a cigar-shaped thing that was just like, just there, just hanging out there. And
up the trees.
Like up in the sky, you know, it was like pretty high up, pretty high up, but it
up
was not
blue.
Moving. And it was clear that it was something solid, like, but it wasn't moving, you know, it was just sitting there.
Yeah.
And we watched it forever. Like we had to eventually go back to the house because we were in high school and we would get in trouble if we didn't, but we were out on this walk and we sat there and watched it for as long as we could. And then we saw, I think a couple nights later, some red lights as well. And this was all out at the Pine Barrens, and Tom and I both remember that. Like I was like incredible. I just remember going back and going, you're not gonna believe what we saw. And of course everyone's like, what?
And this is literally where the Jersey Devil resides
as
well.
Yes, yes. So I was also risking my life.
Oh my God!
Being out there in the Pine Barrens.
You're a brave human.
Aren't I? Yes. Holy thank you. Holy. Thank you for saying that.
Going back to the object, was it a cigar shaped cylinder?
Yes. Total
metallic and color.
Yes.
And how
a darker? It was like a darker gray kind of a thing. But it was so far away that I couldn't tell you the exact color.
Those are limited edition models.
Oh,
very rare. The darker ones. Wow. These are a collector's item. Wow, that is amazing.
But we were just like flabbergasted.
And it stood there the whole time. Did not move.
Did not move the whole time.
Interesting.
Yes.
You were so lucky.
That's the only like UFO thing that I've seen, you know, that I still remember being like, what was that? And at that time, I had never done drugs. I had never drank anything at that time.
Yeah.
I was like, that all happened later in life.
Right.
Like right before I got here.
Boy, that's what you're going through the trash cans for. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's Buttons' ayahuasca leftovers. I saw you sucking on those. I said, come inside if you're going to do that. We're going to have to do a podcast.
Have you seen anything in your time? Let me give you a hint. Yes, you have.
Put these sloth pants on. There you go. Sit down.
And so, well, can we just grace you with a very popular theory that our show has on UFOs? Oh,
yes. I would like to hear this.
Buttons' own theory.
Well, okay. Yeah, no, but
that has since been put out in a big book by Michael P. Masters.
Michael P. Masters. Have you heard of Michael P. Masters?
No.
Oh, I've got a senior. He's
great.
Very, very respected professor of anthropology.
Oh.
In Montana,
he took your theory?
He took my theory. Uh-huh. The cheeky bastard.
It's a chicken and egg situation.
Who came up with it?
Oh, Michael will say it's his.
He wrote a book.
The egg here will say it's his.
But so I do this so often. I give people ideas and then they make the idea and then they forget that I gave them the idea. And then I'm like, hey,
it's not cool.
It's not cool.
No,
it's not cool.
No.
I did have an idea before you said just before it's lost.
Yeah.
On the cusp of yay or nay. That needs to be a movie title.
I love that.
On the cusp of yay or nay.
And I had we have the same twinkling.
That is great.
Yeah.
When I said it, I had a twinkling of this.
I had a twinkling too.
This is good.
This is good.
I'm glad that you kept the twinkling.
Twinkling. We're still twinkling.
We should write it right now.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Hang on. I'm just going to check GPT. Write us a script called yay or nay.
Cusp of yay.
Hey, have you gone to ChatGPT and asked it, are aliens real? Have you done that?
Like, no.
What would it say?
Oh, we should do that right now.
Yeah.
You won't believe what's happening.
Oh my God.
I am writing
the words. Take us through it.
Are aliens real?
This is exciting. Okay.
I hit enter on ChatGPT.
Yep.
Michael's here verifying it.
Yep.
It's breaking ChatGPT. First of all, I had two blank statements.
Yeah. What was
nothing.
That?
What? Then I ask it again and it goes, well, ultimately, nothing.
And that's
just breaking it.
It's being stopped.
Are you joking?
What? This is the only thing that.
Nothing.
Oh my God. All right.
What?
We've broken the simulation.
Let's see here.
These are the
we can't be the first ones who have discovered this idea of asking AI what aliens
are. I'm going to try it on the app version of
yes,
it.
Yes, please.
See what we get.
I was too scared to download
that. Oh, look.
See, your simulation is still fine. My simulation
you have
is
a
breaking.
Do you want to know the answer?
Yeah, here we go.
The existence of aliens is currently a topic of speculation and debate. While there is no conclusive scientific evidence confirming the existence of extraterrestrial life, many scientists believe that given the vastness of the universe, it is likely that life exists elsewhere. However, until concrete evidence is found, the existence of aliens remains unproven. I don't know why it would have to be made of concrete.
Yeah, that's my first thought. There's no way those ships
concrete
are concrete.
Evidence,
like
that would weigh tons.
Yeah, they're making it very difficult.
Yeah, you're never going to get concrete.
I think what
evidence.
They want to say is metallic evidence.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, ChatGPT doesn't know shit. So I see what everybody tried to do there, which is try and shift the conversation away from my theory of aliens.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very brave attempt. Very clever. You're even on in it, too. But if we bring it back to my theory quickly, which I'm very keen. Oh, we haven't talked. I haven't said this theory
on
the podcast.
Well, you said quickly, but already it's not happening.
You learned this about me very early on in our friendship.
He's very slow.
It's great. No, I'm just detailed. I like to detail lots of words
but
before
the details
I get to
are so obvious. You can see them from the moon.
He's so generous with our time.
You're so generous with our time. Thank you. That's a great statement.
You guys, I just know that your time, the value of it is just...
You know what the fun part we can actually do here?
Yeah.
You can you tell him your theory as fast as you can. Actually, just normal speed. All right, but as concise as you can.
Yeah.
And then when we do the edit, we'll speed that bit up.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you will because you're editing it. Just times two or times three. Like we did that other time with something I did.
I slow it down.
Maybe
I'll
bastard.
That could be sweet jazz music underneath it.
Oh my God, another job for me?
Can someone get this man a piano?
Yeah.
You just score my theory for me. This is a new gig for you.
If you send me the audio of your theory, I will score it.
Oh my God! Oscar and Grammy awarded.
And then we can use that from that moment onwards when we go and do conferences or stuff.
Yes.
Well, actually, we do have a problem that the Buttons Theory Time theme tune is
this is the Michael P. Masters theory theme. This is your time traveler theme tune.
But it's a theory.
Yeah, no, but
is it?
Oh, yeah, but my
but you pop this theory everywhere in life.
This is not a theory. It. This is your. This is literally.
This is, belief.
This is, yeah, this is your belief.
Okay,
belief. It's gone beyond.
Button's belief time. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Right.
Okay. Here it comes.
But do it right, because this is one being scored.
Oh, I know it's going to get scored.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
No pressure.
Michael, I have a deep belief that it's most likely aliens are simply us time traveling back from a distant future where we have engineered the ability to be able to time travel, and we are coming back to witness ourselves living the golden age of pre-AI existence. As tourists coming back, as scientists, anthropologists coming back from the future to get evidence of how life was before. It is just as likely that as it is an alien species coming from millions of light years away.
Great. Now, question. All right, let's do that once more, but okay. No.
I love it. Are you happy? You want one more? You want one more?
I think Michael wants one more. He was not inspired.
No, he was waiting
for the timpani moment.
But are you telling me that we are ignoring Doc Brown's advice? Like you should never interfere?
Yeah.
Like what happened to that whole?
Yeah, exactly.
So part of the theory is that UFO sightings happen more in certain countries than others. And that could well be that every country, once they all figure out time travel, have different laws governing different countries for time travel. So America might just be a lot looser in their laws about messing with the space-time continuum. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
So I just want to pause on that one statement. I might just replay that in the edit. Messing
that's
with the
actually
space
cool.
Continuum. Thank you, Michael. I'm never going to get that. May become my ringtone if you don't mind. But the other thing is when there are things like, and we've got a couple of examples of news stories that we may get around to today, although it seems like the podcast or the format's gone. Things like cattle mutilations.
Yeah.
Got a story about that today. Even things like, we all giggle when we say this word because it is hilarious, but anal probes. The one thing that anthropologists say that they would love to be able to get if they could travel back in time from today back
is
to the dinosaur age
probe.
Is an anal probe. No, it's fecal matter.
Oh.
Because that says so much about what we're eating, about our microbes, about our digestive system. And like if we could get some actual dinosaur poo, we would be able to tell so much about them as an...
Has been fossilized dinosaur poo, and they have been able to get some information out of that in figuring out what it was they were eating.
And the other one that they talk about is sperm harvesting. Again, you giggle and it's kind of thing, but like Michael P. Masters says, as the anthropologist, one of the biggest existential threats to human life is declining fertility and the fact that it's getting harder and harder and harder to have children. And at some point, if that trend continues, and it's gone down from something like 1960 to 2020 or something, it's reduced by 30%.
Really? Now, are we saying that is a physiological issue, or is it a choice that people are just having less kids?
Probably a bit of both, and probably environmental, that we're having so much more terrible food and diet and all
more
that
stress.
Kind of stuff, and stress and radio waves, you know, messing with our systems and what have you. Who knows? But if that keeps going, one of the reasons that we may need to invent time travel or figure it out is to come back and get healthy sperm and healthy reproduction systems and what have
to
you.
To rejuvenate humanity.
So that's a job in the future, a sperm harvester?
Time traveling sperm harvester!
And you go into bars and stuff and you...
Sperm hunter.
A sperm hunter. Yeah.
Like Steve Irwin types from the future coming back. Right. We got to be very quiet.
Yes.
I can see the sperm in his testicles.
He's very healthy.
Follow the drunk one. Follow the drunk one.
That's the thing. But these people come out. These people. These sperm harvesters. No, these abductees come out and they're almost too embarrassed to say. Like, I remember what happened. Oh, it's a bit awkward, but they took a bunch of my poo.
Yeah, there was definitely a sex act of some sort.
And there was a sex act.
Yeah, quite often. That's quite a frequent thing.
And they said it wasn't erotic. They literally just harvested. And also, like you say, if the UFOs have come here from the other side of the galaxy, like if we finally got to a planet that was inhabited, we would probably observe for a while, but then would come down and say, yo, yo, yo.
Yo, what's up?
How's it going?
Yeah.
Aliens,
dad. You come down to 60 kids you're suddenly having to pay alimony for. Oh, shit.
No, it wasn't time travelers. Damn it. It was the Alpha Centauri. Hey, planet.
We need your shoes for school, Dad.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Anyway, so. Yeah, so, I mean, that's going to be 7 or 8 minutes worth of scoring for you. What does that kind of cost us? What
is
that?
I'm going to have to. I'll run it through the program. We'll see how. We'll see.
All right. Well, let's do what we like to call
weekly world weird news.
Crazy, freaky. Watch out!
If you could just score that as well,
that's great. Yes, that'd be great. Yes. Just give me a list of what you need. We'll get it done. Yes.
So the 911 call I played at the beginning of the show comes from something that happened very recently, and yeah, it's certainly an eye opener. It's articles all over the internet from various publications. This one's USA Today. Just seemed to be. I like the font on it, so I flicked on it. Flicked on it. That's not the right term. Anyway, Las Vegas police investigate aliens in backyard report after officer spots flying object. Reports of two unknown entities falling from the sky on the same night in late April that a family reported something not human in their backyard. I mean, it could have been a rabbit, but that's just a tree. One officer drove to a home on the night of April 30th and interviewed the family who called 911 after making the sighting. According to body camera footage obtained by USA Today, this publication, so they obtained the footage. One of the family members told the officer they saw a big creature. That was long, 10 feet tall. The officer told the family he was looking into claims because another officer saw something in the sky that matched the family's description 8 minutes earlier.
Yeah, you know what? That's my favorite part of the audio that he kept asking. You know,
yeah,
because I had a buddy that saw something too. So I just want to see if you saw something, because I think he's full of shit. Yeah, and I just want to know, like, it felt like he was like checking, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like,
and you know, these cops are kind of like bro-y as well. Like,
Yeah,
they're kind of tough and stuff. And so it's kind of like that old adage of, would they even really be into this kind of stuff? Mm. But you know, when it's real, it's real. And when people see things, they see things. It's a possible t-shirt. I didn't quite get the twinkling there.
No, it could be workshopped.
Back to my article. I'm not going to BS you guys. One of my partners. Oh, this is just the bit you just mentioned. He says, it's weird. It's just the fact that our partners saw something at the exact same time. It's like it's a coincidence. Yeah. All right. Maybe start watching some more UFO documentaries and things. A nearby resident called 911 to report something 100% not human, in quotation marks, on their property. About 40 minutes later, another man called 911 to report two unknown entities in his backyard, which is the one I played.
Did those people know each other?
Yeah, apparently there's no connection. I'm making that up, but I'm adding that. The man described the creature as large and somewhere between 8 to 10 feet tall and appearing like aliens with big mouths, big shiny eyes, and added that they're 100% not human. The department investigated the property for days following the alleged paranormal incident before closing the case. That's it. Case closed. Nothing to see here.
Did anyone? Was there a police sketch of the creature or anything like that?
That's what I want to see. But one of the things that I love about it is that they saw the crash. They came out and they, you know, heard the creatures on the roof. Then they look out, and one of the alien creatures has jumped into a front-end loader that was out in the yard and was trying to start it and trying to drive off in a front-end loader.
Wow. You read that as part of this?
Yeah, no, there's part of a there's a news article. Should I play the news article?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anton sent it to me. Here we go.
Just before midnight on April 30th, sky watchers across several western states saw a bright fireball streak through the heavens. A police officer working in the Northwest Valley caught a glimpse of the colorful object on his body cam. At nearly the same time, a Ring camera in the area recorded a strange noise and what sounds like a crash. One family living in a ranch-style home had a much closer view of the object. Two brothers and their father were working on a vehicle in their yard when they caught a glimpse of a sparkly object as it came crashing down, then were hit by what they describe as a shockwave. One of the witnesses, a young man named Angel, has stated when the brothers looked into the yard where the object landed, that spot was obscured and blurry, as if by unknown form of camouflage. What they saw next prompted a frantic call to 911.
So there's two people or two subjects that are in your backyard?
Correct, and they're very large. They're okay. Like 8 foot, 9 feet, 10 foot. I don't know. They look like aliens to us. Big eyes. They have big eyes. Okay. Like I can't explain it. And big mouth. They're shiny eyes, and they're not human. They're 100% they're not human.
8 News Now investigators have spoken with family members multiple times in the past 4 weeks, but each of the 3 times we accepted their invitation to do an interview, they didn't answer the door or their phone. These are some of the claims they've made in other public forums. Multiple family members backed up the story in an initial police report we obtained. Angel says they heard the patter of multiple feet in the yard. They later heard footsteps on their roof. They saw one of the 8-foot-tall creatures climb behind the controls of a large front loader stored in the yard as if trying to engage it. He got a good look at one of the creatures, he said, a greenish-grayish being with large eyes and long legs. He says he could hear its deep breaths, and when he locked eyes, he was, in essence, frozen in place, couldn't move. In the middle of the yard, where the object had crashed, then vanished, a circular impression was left in the soil.
Okay, where is this on your property?
Metro sources say the police dispatcher initially wondered whether to send a crisis intervention team to help the troubled witness, but then took the incident seriously. 2 officers arrived 38 minutes after the call, and by then had heard from other officers. They proceeded cautiously and managed some nervous laughs.
I ain't dealing with that.
A few days later, the family says, 2 Metro sergeants returned to the scene to ask follow-up questions. The family says they also saw men in suits and sunglasses driving in a car with government plates cruising slowly past the house in the following days. Nellis and Creech have denied any interest or involvement with the incident. Metro has indicated they believe the family that something crashed in their yard. But what?
Now, you mentioned, George, in that piece that, you know, they were frozen because so many people have been critical of, like, why didn't get their phone out? Why didn't they shoot the video? Do we know if there's even any video of this incident?
Yes and no. So there's a surveillance camera in the backyard. The property owner keeps that because he's got a lot of expensive equipment there. What we were told is that at the moment this thing comes down and crash, this camera went out, and it was out for a couple of minutes. When it came back on, the object was gone, but the circle was there. We've been told by Angel in multiple phone conversations that he shot video of the creatures. We haven't seen it, and we don't know anybody else who's seen it yet, so maybe he'll release it at some point.
It's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, all over.
All right, George, thank you.
I mean, like, if you shot footage of something like that in your yard and you had it, if you think about why would you not release it? What would be
Well, here's why. Because you are going to draw so much attention to your life and to you. Now, he's already stepped over that mark by, everything he's done so far. But if this happened, which, you know, I think it's feeling pretty credible, at least obvious that something did come down. We've seen it. It's on the footage, you know, and the sonic thing, the door footage of the, you can hear the crash. That was all there. There's evidence for it. And then the 911 call. So he either went, we saw something, let's make a joke here and call the cops, like, but then he's a young guy and he's very calm in it. But some people have said, you know, you'd be more terrified. But I actually go the other way. I think if it was going to be a joke,
I'm like, oh my God, I saw it.
Yeah. Also, to do a joke where you call the cops, I think in this country you can get arrested for that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not a joke thing to do.
No. Also, I've noticed since becoming a dad, if something scary happens to my son, choking, something like that, this new place. I don't freak out anymore, which I might have in the past. I go into a zone where I need to just tell you, I just need to focus on what's going on. I imagine if I was seeing something like that, I'd be like,
How often does this happen?
Outside? He feeds his kids eucalyptus oil.
We don't need to talk about that.
Datura.
It's quite a lot. He's now very zen about it. He's a lot of practice.
That was an incident.
That was an incident, and it's done, and they're alive.
We've gone past
it. It's okay.
There's
another thing, which is, you know, potentially, I think a lot of people are now wise to the idea that footage of that kind of any kind is
scrutinized straight away.
Well, also it's worth a lot. And you immediately go, I could sell this for. I'm not saying they've done that, but that's a possibility.
The Men in Black turn up and say, "We'll not kill you."
I can believe that one.
I was going to say the other thing we haven't thought of is that perhaps these things communicated with him in a way which suppresses his. Want to give this away or show anyone. Yeah.
There's many points to bring up. Like when he looked at them, he froze.
Yeah.
Like he felt like he couldn't move when they made eye contact. We don't know what they're doing to him at that point. And also the fact that one of them went into the front loader we don't know that these aren't, they're coming down. They know they can disappear any time because they've got the device or whatever.
Right.
And they're just going, let's have a play on that. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, hang on. Yes, the device disappeared very quickly. What's to say the alien didn't jump in quickly, dig a big hole, put the broken down UFO in the ground and then covered it back up again?
That's ridiculous. What is this? Okay, now you're talking.
No,
that's a good point.
And then there was a memory time loss of like 8 hours while the digger dug a massive hole. And everyone's just sort of frozen in the room or whatever. The cops are like,
he's got to take a break. He's cut to him just taking a break. Oh my God.
And then he does it, clears it all up, disappears, and then goes, back. The simulation's back on, guys.
Okay, we're good.
How good was the detail about the blurriness of?
That was cool.
I've heard that before.
That was cool.
Cloaking
was
makes great. Sense,
and it makes sense in the cloaking scenario of the invisibility, and or that they can slip into another dimension because that's pretty much sounds like. But why do they drop out of the sky?
Yeah.
Why is it? If it's a time travel theory, back to that weird. Just very quickly. How awesome that they're down there and they're both standing there looking in this yard of antique objects.
Yeah.
They still
work.
Oh, and one of them's I'm like, hey, look, here's a frontier loader. And the other one's like, get down off here. We're going to get going.
Yes, I love that scenario because I think we always feel like these things are so serious. And it literally could just be kids
playing around.
You know?
Just going for a quick time travel.
Still making
and then somewhere else in the galaxy.
Where's the concrete chips?
Yeah, there's a parent going, where's the car?
The concrete
did
chips.
Did so-and-so take the car?
Yeah.
And they're like looking out at their space driveway.
Cars, incidentally. Cars too. Also composed.
Ding ding.
And Cars 3. Word. That was a great news package, by the way.
What's that?
Like what just
that
watched.
One. Oh yeah, that was fantastic.
That
must,
that I hadn't seen that one. Yeah, that's that all you great. Need to see. Yeah.
They must have high fives at the end of that day.
Oh
that
yeah.
No, like, so,
and was that the local news from that area? Or was it?
Yeah, it was. And but to get the phrase in there, UFO rodeo.
This is my first. Yeah,
UFO. Not our first
by the
UFO
way,
rodeo.
What a great band name.
Great band name.
Yeah.
Yes.
UFO rodeo. But the fact that he said, like, it's not our first. That's so.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's the phrase.
That's the phrase. Not our first UFO rodeo.
All right, do you want me to dive into this bit?
Is that not what you got? Yeah, that's you just put UFO into a very famous phrase. That's that was
what wow. Was... That's, I've never heard that phrase before. Anyway, here we go.
Okay,
but we need to now cross over into this so much important UFO news at the moment. There has been yet another ex-government official whistleblower that has come out saying that the US government definitely has crashed and also complete UFO craft in their possession.
Yeah, so let's have a look at this. So basically, I got this sent to me from numerous friends. This one's from The Debrief. Intelligence officials say the US has retrieved craft of non-human origin. And it's a real bombshell of a headline. And it's hard to put this in a nutshell, so I'm going to put it in sort of a really huge, awkward, odd-looking and hard-to-understand nutshell that you might look at for a bit and then sort of just wander on
like
from.
Like an ostrich egg.
Yeah.
Kind of,
yeah. Yeah, more of an ostrich egg that's half-hatched and you're worried that the thing's not alive inside.
And it's going to stink.
A former intelligence official turned whistleblower has given Congress and the Intelligence Community Inspector General extensive classified information about deeply covert programs that he says possess retrieved intact and partially intact craft of non-human origin. The information, he says, has been illegally withheld from Congress, and he filed a complaint alleging that he suffered illegal retaliation for his confidential disclosures, reported here for the first time. So the debrief was the original article on this, breaking the silence on this. Other intelligence officials, both active and retired, with knowledge of these programs through their work in various agencies, have independently provided similar corroborating information both on and off the record. The whistleblower, David Grush, 36, a decorated former combat officer in Afghanistan, is a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, and the National Reconnaissance Office, NRO. He served as the reconnaissance officer's representative to the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force from 2019 to 2021. From late 2021 to July 2022, he was the NGA's co-lead for UAP analysis and its representative to the task force. So a lot of gobbledygook there, but also read it two or three times and you start to understand what all the letters mean. But the long and the short of it is that this guy is is the real deal involved in the real scenario.
Unfortunately, that David Grush hasn't actually laid eyes on any of these craft. It's just that he has seen the documents and that prove that they have it.
And he's spoken to others that have been involved in the craft retrieval. I think that's
the main thing. But most importantly, his credentials and his reputation, amazing.
Yeah, it's stellar.
Stellar, yeah. And so now that he's at the end of his career, much like Michael here, why would you put your career in jeopardy to be involved in such a terrible
podcast?
We're taking down a Grammy and Emmy Award winning and a UFO specialist in the one podcast.
It's my favorite way to go.
Perfect.
Well, look, I'll tell you what. Look, it is, and this is a quote here from Mellon, Christopher Mellon. He spent nearly like 20 years in the US intelligence community, and he served as a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, worked for Congress in the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena situation. He says, it's a delicate matter getting this potentially explosive information into the right hands for validation. This is made harder by the fact that, rightly or wrongly, a number of potential sources do not trust the leadership of the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office established by Congress.
Okay.
It's more difficult words, isn't it? But at the end of the day, it's about distrust and it's about getting to a cusp. What was that famous thing I said once? On the cusp of yay or nay. Yes. Oh, and that's where they fucking are. Yes, I swore.
Yeah.
This is so passionate.
But it makes sense because if recently what they have divulged in terms of all those videos of the military stuff and everything, right? So that's what they're thinking they can share with us, which means there must be things that they feel that they can't share with us, right?
Yes, all the nay on the side.
Yeah, they're not going to give all of it to us.
Yeah.
So if that's what they're giving us, there must be stuff they can't show us.
But it just feels more and more like the trickle feed to disclosure, whereby it's a little bit at a time so that we can comprehend it and we don't get the ultimate shock and we all like just faint like those goats that have been stared at.
But do you think that this is sanctioned then, this release, something
it feels like
this?
It. And that's what a lot of people in the ufology community believe as well. I think Richard Dolan was one who said the trickle down thing is what's happening with
and
disclosure.
It's
disclosure with a small d.
Right.
Yeah. It is engineered. Yeah. So it's not just, you know, a UFO landing on the White House lawn.
Yeah. Right.
It is like, freak okay, look at these videos and these are genuine. They're from the U.S. Navy, and we these things are real. We don't know what's inside them. We're going to shoot down this balloon, you know, right. And it's little bits like that. And now this is the next bit where they're going, okay, look, we are recovering alien craft, non-human. Yeah. We're not even using the word alien because they don't. They just say non. It's definitely non-human. Mm. What? So was it built by chimpanzees? What are we looking at here?
From the future.
Yeah,
Concrete engineers.
It could be drone technology. It could be, as in, so possibly made by extraterrestrial, but the item we have has no sentience. Yeah, there's no...
Apart from those 2 9-foot dudes with big shiny eyes.
9-foot lads. Yeah.
But then you got that, and that's why I just love that. And I just only just found that stuff from Las Vegas last night.
Yeah.
And nearly lost my mind looking. It's exciting. It's that fun Bigfoot footage kind of thing. The 911 call. And you know, and part of you is definitely going, This is not real. Yeah. But there's a big part that's going, Oh, I want to believe, and I hope this is real.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. Let's keep following it. I'm just, you know, I'm waiting for maybe, you know, an article to come out with this guy saying, oh, no, I was just under a lot of pressure. It was a deer. And, you know, it was my final year at high school, you know.
But until that comes out, it puts us back as the kid fireside chat. Where you just go, what happened there? That's all the info right now. We're waiting for the footage.
When Star Trek the Motion Picture came out.
Oh, Star Trek, another...
But I do remember being blown away by the idea that something we sent out could evolve on its own, you know. And if you're thinking about even now more than ever, as they start putting AI into these things that are going to be going out into the universe, you can imagine them doing that. Maybe not it's going to come back like V'ger, but there's going to be some version of putting something out there that's going to evolve on its own, whether we see it or not ever again. I don't know, but I love that idea that these things are just out there.
Yeah. Well, you can't, on the disclosure thing as well, you can't blame the government for needing to slowly bring us up to speed as well, because if you look at just the example of War of the Worlds, the radio play that was broadcast in such a way that made everybody believe we were being invaded by aliens.
And in New Jersey.
Oh, really?
Oh, so
everybody started packing up and heading for the hills and freaking the hell out. So if anything, that's a great test. And maybe it was part of the disclosure that's been going for a long time. That's like, what will happen if people think we've been invaded? They will freak out. So we have to actually, let's just do this slowly. And for a government, it's like, okay, this disclosure is, we're going to roll it out over the next 100 years, 200 years, whatever. That it's not like time is a limit for them. That will be the point where they can disclose, where people are like, come on, just tell us the truth.
You know what you're describing is the Matrix, basically, and people slowly figuring out that this is not, you know, and there's people behind it going, they're starting to like figure this out. What are we going to do?
That's so true.
Yeah.
And so then, is it the Matrix? Is it like... Because this is the one thing of the simulation theory. If it is a simulation, why do bad things happen?
Yes.
And it's like, well, when you go to Disneyland, it is literally called the happiest place on earth. And they have roller coasters and rides there that make you feel that you are going to die.
Yeah.
They literally take you to the edge of one.
I wouldn't say that. You're gonna, your point.
There's rides that you're like, oh, that boulder's going to hit us. We pull out.
Yeah.
We put ourselves in that position. Why? Because we want to know that we're alive, and that fear and that stuff makes us feel very alive. So this is a simulation.
Something you said was very interesting about the idea of why put bad things into the simulation? If you think, if this is a simulation, why do we have cancer? Why do we have these awful things? Yeah. Mm. Is it for the same reason? To make us feel alive?
To make us feel alive because...
How ironic.
We only know the good side of life, the feeling of love and happiness, if there's the other side to counteract it. So we only know when we're truly happy because we don't feel truly bad.
There's two sides to everything. There's two sides to the human, isn't there? Mm-hmm. There's the good and the bad.
Yeah.
And if it was all good, you wouldn't feel anything stronger than goodness.
Can I reveal something to you all?
That is deep.
So that needs to be.
Did you get a tingle on that one? I didn't quite.
Maybe it's a bell tree.
What were you about to reveal? You looked very excited there.
Yeah. What are you going to reveal?
I had this thought the other day. You know, people believe, you know, in heaven and hell, and you have to be good on earth to go to heaven, and if not hell, and that's what religion is built around. I think I genuinely fear more that this is a simulation and we're going to pop out of the simulation and everybody in the room is going to be able to look at what your simulation was and all the good and bad things you did. Like it's kind of a research group and they're like, okay, so your simulation, Leon, oh, you did that dodgy thing, didn't you? And we have to sit there and go, oh, yeah, sorry. And that embarrassment of this being some form of experiment and popping out in some ways stops me more doing dodgy things.
Really?
More so than going to heaven or hell.
So this is just therapy?
Therapy! This whole thing, you guys are all part of my therapy.
That's you.
Matrix.
That's you finding your moral compass. My friend said this to me the other day. It's from the Yuval Noah Harari book, which is, as humans, we're the only species alive that has a thing whereby a promise can be bargained for something returning on the other side of death. So we will met you. He was saying a monkey doesn't go, I'll give you a lot of bananas in the afterlife if you do this thing for me. No species knows how to like agree on something on the other side. We do. And that gives us moral compass. So for you, your bargain now is I won't do this in this simulation so that I don't have to look at it.
But conversely, if that's true, then none of it makes any difference, right? So you can do whatever you want, unless you're saying that on the other side of that simulation, when you're reviewing everything, is there a punishment for what you did or didn't do?
What I fear is that I'm a kid that we're in a multiplayer game with my mates, and then we all go into it, and we all live this life, and we're like free will, and we do either good things or bad things, and then it's game over.
And at the end, you end up back in the lobby.
In the lobby, and everybody's like, oh!
And they tally your scores.
But who's watching your... So you think, who's watching all your game, your game of life? Us?
The mates. Yeah, the mates at the end. You all
watch. I'm not going to be bothered watching. I'm not... There's no way I'm watching that. So boring. I'll watch some of my bits.
Highlights. Yeah. You know when you play.
I'm not watching all your whatever you've done behind closed doors. I'm not,
it's like
the boring stuff when you're fixing something. It's so dull.
You know, when you're brushing your teeth.
You play like a PlayStation game.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, it plays you all the little highlights of like, you know, that's when you shot that guy. Yeah. That's when your joint crashed into that wall. And that's when you came across the finish line.
Mario
Kart. Right.
Yeah.
That's going to do that at the end of it. And I'll be like, no, don't look.
But then do you also think, because this is, as far as we know, the latest theories of science are this is one universe.
Yeah.
But there are parallel places. There are multiverses. Kind of like in Doctor Strange, incidentally, another movie.
Ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding.
Are there multiple...
You've been a busy boy.
I have been, and I've done it all since I've been sitting here.
Yeah.
That's the genius of it all.
You know,
that's
amazing. I didn't even know he did that. I'm just yelling out movies now. Just, the likelihood is that he scored them. Yeah.
And Michael scored so many, he's not even sure himself.
I don't even know.
Yeah, I probably did that. But are there multiple buttons, billions and billions, infinite buttons in different simulations
doing
different... Yeah. Mm. Or do you think this is the one simulation?
Yeah.
Well, I think that there are multiple simulations that we've played. It's like playing Gran Turismo multiple times and getting better and better and better at driving.
Right.
That and that's where past life memories come in, and that's where coincidence and, you know, that feeling of... predicting the future because they're like, oh, I've played this before.
Yeah.
And I know what's going to happen. I'm going to meet you know, all those kind of things because it's multiple games. And you're playing it.
So is deja vu sort of like things blending over crossing paths? Like universes talking. Have a momentary.
Possibly.
Well, there's dodgy code, lazy code. It's lazy like, code.
It's funny you mentioned Gran Turismo because I was driving Griffey around the other day, letting him practice driving. And he goes to me, seriously says to me, you know, I really think playing GTA has really helped me be a better driver.
Wow.
You know? And I was like, okay, well, watch out for that curb still. Yeah. You know?
Don't knock that prostitute over.
But autonomous cars are trained to be autonomous by getting them to play GTA.
What?
Oh. Yeah, they sit them. No. Yeah, yeah. Part of the way that we've got to where autonomous cars are, they sit and they play GTA and they learn how to...
I did not know that.
So there's cars sitting around the country just playing PlayStation, and that, and basically.
That, and the, are they the cars that are actually in the game that you're smashing into and crashing into?
Well, no, their job is like to not crash into anything. So
no, they're, but they're the robot car. They're the NPC cars.
Oh, no. I don't think I...
So it's just the software.
It's the software. Exactly. I don't think when you're playing online, you're playing a Tesla.
Driving around somewhere.
That would be amazing.
That would be incredible.
I love that.
Getting a little off track here, but I had a sudden thought before you launch into another diatribe of can we fast forward? Past lives could also be looked upon as perhaps concurrent lives.
Yes.
Oh, so, you know, when you have
living at the
same
time.
So the life that you thought of is also still happening, but it's in another universe and you just had a flash of it.
So when Albert Brooks was looking at all his past lives in, what is that movie?
You know, another one that you've forgotten you scored?
No, this one I did not score, but Defending Your Life.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You know
that
one? Oh. Then I'm going to stop there and let you just watch the movie.
No, quickly. Right. Okay. We're just going to pause the podcast here. We're just going to watch a movie together. We'll be back with you in a second.
We're back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Michael, you're
so right. That was
amazing. Yeah.
So many lives
as well. I love the cat as well. The cat. And I didn't expect that cat to do that.
By the way, it was a tiger.
Tiger, same thing. Oh, my God.
But you're not far off. You did catch that. So, you know.
But back to UFOs quickly. I've got one piece of news. We can't believe 2 hours and we're still in Weekly World Weird News. We're having way too much fun. My headline, mystery as six cows found dead with their tongues cut out by Texas highway.
Now, how can a Texas highway cut out the tongue of a cow?
Wow.
Someone explain that to me.
That is a terrible headline.
Did they miss out the word man after highway?
Mystery as six cows found dead with their tongues cut out by Texas highway.
Yeah.
Give us all your tongues or your money.
This should be mystery as six cows found dead by Texas highway with their tongues cut out. Yeah. You're so right. That's terrible. Yeah,
you don't even need Texas highway.
That
could be in the article. Like just
exactly. Okay.
A lot of people Google Texas highways. All right. So it's another cattle mutilation.
Yeah,
what makes this one
this.
Different from
okay,
any of the
go.
Others?
Well, they haven't been. Well, certainly none been reported lately. But get back into the UFO world, the surgical removal of parts of animals, particularly cattle, particularly horses, and particularly in the United States, has always been a mystery. It's been happening for a very long time, sometimes internal organs removed without there being any kind of scars. Another common one is that there was just like half a beast missing, was just bone white bones. The other half of the animal is just died the night before.
Wow, is that's a genuine thing?
Yeah.
They looked at it and went, that's been missing for months, and this died last night.
Yeah. So, you know, Linda Moulton Howe, we had her on our podcast when we did the live show at the Alien Conference. She got into ufology and reporting that because she was just a reporter and went to report on these cattle mutilations.
Right.
And what she saw affected her so much, she was like, I'm dedicating my life
to
this.
She was full rabbit hole after that. And I can understand why, because it's such a shocking thing to see.
Yeah.
And then when it happened again and again, and, you know, you've got to find the answers to it. No matter how many years, I think it's been possibly 40
years.
40 plus years now, and she's still on, you know,
still looking into
what
it.
What does she think has done it?
Oh, well,
aliens.
Yeah.
Because has she considered that maybe the highways have been doing it?
Yeah, she says we need to get her back on and ask her. This maybe. This is, all the answers are here in this one article. But the one thing is that these ranchers don't report it because they don't want to be associated with ufology.
Yeah.
And but also they hate it because it's these beasts are worth a lot of money.
Right? Yeah.
I've watched Yellowstone, I know. And then you didn't score that one, did you?
No, I didn't
actually,
do that.
It's really good.
No, I watched it.
But this one here, again, has all of these hallmarks of a UFO cattle mutilation, because things happen like they find the beast in the middle of a field or something with no footprints, no vehicle tracks, nothing around it, like it has been dropped there from an alien craft. Like no sign of struggle. It's not.
It'd be a hell of a struggle.
Yeah. And then no blood. So this is in Texas and Madison County, and these Texas authorities have been called He says the animal's tongue had been removed with surgical accuracy and no blood spill, the sheriff's office said in a statement. The hide on one side of her mouth was also removed through a straight, clean cut with apparent precision. It was noted there was no signs of struggle and the grass around the cow was undisturbed. No footprints or tire tracks were noted in the area. Ranchers told investigators that it appeared the cow had been left to decay untouched for several weeks, with no predators or birds attempting to scavenge its remains.
Mm, that's interesting.
That's fascinating, right? You'd think that's the first thing that would happen. In the ensuing investigation, authorities discovered five other cows had been found dead and mutilated in a similar fashion in the area. All six of the cows, each found in separate locations and belonging to different herds, had their tongues removed with a cut along the jaw. Two had their anus and external genitalia removed with a circular cut. The official cause of death has not been determined for any of the six cows.
I mean, it's freaky. Like, whatever is, it is.
Whatever it is.
There must be. Yeah, but what is this sign here? What is this?
This is what the Madison County Sheriff's Office put up.
What's the sign?
It's pretty great.
Oh, right. So it's a black and white photo of some cows with
some
red
cows.
Writing.
It's suspicious
cattle. It's like the equivalent of a milk bottle.
Yeah.
Have you seen this cow? Yeah.
Oh, you know? How ironic being on a milk bottle as a cow.
Oh, yeah.
That's not nice.
I found it quite interesting that each cow was from a different herd.
And why the tongue, I wonder? Like, what would be...
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing. If it's time travelers coming back from the future, then maybe there is, like, a delicacy, and they're like they're making money taking this.
Yes, I'd like a 2023 cow tongue, please. Yes. How long is it going to take you?
From Wyoming, Wyoming, please.
Yeah, we got off to the movies tonight.
Well, we can't actually serve you that tonight because our time travel machine has been taken by the owner's sons and they're joyriding back at the moment. They were due back this afternoon. Yeah. Turns out they've crashed.
When they get back. Did you boys go to Vegas again? You cheeky buggers. I hope you didn't get caught.
You and your fascination with front-end loaders. Just leave it alone. Leave it.
Wow.
Get back and play your GTA, please. Come on. So anyway, so a lot of UFO news out in the moment. And all of it happening in America.
What's the date on that one?
It was 23rd of April.
Yeah.
Right. That's 3 within a very, very close proximity.
Yeah.
And not just 3 we know of. Imagine, like, because there's so much wilderness out there. Like, who knows if they could find deer. They could be doing this.
Yeah.
Anyway. Totally.
Well, we are running short of time now because we don't want to keep Michael too long. It is now 5 minutes to 5.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, we talked a little bit about the UFO Congress and going there, and I just want to tell you one story from one time.
What was your time?
So I told you one of the great things to do at these conferences is at nighttime when there's nothing else to do because you're out in the middle of nowhere is you just hang around the bar and you just sit down at a table and just start talking to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one night, my friend Kirk Thatcher and I, he's the one I would go with all the time. We sat down next to this guy. His name was Bruce. And Bruce we just start talking. And before you know it, like this thing ended up being like a, I don't know, 2-3 hour story that Bruce tells us. And the story that he told us was this incredible epic about how he is in a second life now. But his previous life, he was integral in the battle between the reptilians the simians.
No.
Right? What? And he tells this incredible story that spans thousands of years and takes him to Mars, where all of this was happening, and then back on Earth, and then the simians from Earth going to Mars to fight this battle to protect this baby. And he recalls this one battle that he was in. And you have to understand, this guy was so serious, but he was crying as he tells the story. He was crying as he's telling the story of this.
He's feeling the emotions.
He's feeling the emotions. Wow. He's reliving the whole thing. And we were like stunned. Like normally you'd be like, it's kind of a fun sort of thing. This was not. This was a serious, like 3-hour conversation. And he was talking about this baby simian. He was like, I had it in my hands and it was dying. It died and it got hit by crossfire or something. And he lost it. He's crying and crying. And we're all just like you don't know what to do at that point because it's, you just don't know what to do.
It's heavy and out of this world.
It was so heavy. But the detail at which he was telling us this story was incredible. So he's either 100% just telling us exactly yeah. what his experience and his truth was, or he's the greatest writer on the planet.
Wow.
But it seems to me he believed this.
Yeah.
This whole entire story. He believed this. So there was that. That was one of my favorite. I actually recorded most of it.
Yeah.
Big guy, wow. burly guy. Not the kind of guy you would think that would be there crying right. and telling that's these amazing. Stories.
How big? Sort of 8 foot?
Yeah, about 8 foot with a big, big mouth. Yeah.
Giant mouth.
Yeah, really hairy.
Yeah. There was a bulldozer parked outside.
Blurry. It was hard to see. He was riding a tractor thing around everywhere. He wouldn't get off of it. So that was great. And then there was this other woman that I sat with and she's talking to me. She was like, oh, you have kids and this and that. I was like, yeah, I have 3 kids. And we talked about that. And I said, do you have any kids? And she goes, oh, I have hundreds. And I was like, hundreds? And she's like, oh, yeah. No, I have them all the time. They're all over the place. And I was like, what do you mean? What? She goes, oh, well, I for a long time was up on this spaceship and they used me as a reproductive thing. And then they would test it all. I'd have a baby and they'd bring it down here. She goes, I don't know where they all are. I'm sure they're fine. They're all my babies. Wow. And she was telling this story about how they were using her as a way of sort of experimenting and just learning about the human body. And for years, she would just spit out babies and they would just go to bring them down here. And I don't know where they ended up, but she's like, they all exist somewhere. She goes, I can feel them. I feel their presence everywhere. You know, it's
wow.
so...
Well, you're a director now, regardless of anything oh, yeah. else, whether it's true or her imagination. It's yes. a great TV series
oh,
idea.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's why we go, both were fascinated by this, but I'm also like, I just love these ideas yeah. that you come across. Yeah. These are things,
yeah.
you know, we all have our own stories. We hang out with our friends. But when you get into a group of people like that much that you don't know, oh, yeah. you just start learning all of these things you never could get just by, you know, being on the net or doing whatever. It's just the best.
We're going to have to go to one in the future. Contact in the Desert or the Congress the USO, or something.
Yeah. The 2016.
We should go to the 2016
the
one.
Year,
the 2016 was good. We should do that.
We'll go back to 2016.
Yeah, we should do that.
Well, we can meet those people at the bar. We'll come listen to the story again
with
you.
Yeah. And bring all this equipment. Because my mic was just, it probably wasn't that good at the time.
Well, it's probably better than one sellotape to your hoodie.
Yeah, I know. I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, I just love that it's fascinating human behavior and just the stories that are told, the truth in their eyes, the yeah. what if. And at the end of the day, when you weigh it all up, whether you want to believe, and it's fun to believe in the unknown, it's just amazing to be sitting on the cusp of yay or nay.
Yes.
And on that note, I want to say thank you, Michael, for being with us.
Now, wait a minute. You're not
ruining your career
you're
for
not
us.
You're not going to use my real name on this, right?
George
Michael, ladies and gentlemen.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.